We're live.
Sorry, are we? Are we live now?
I think it was set. No, we're not actually talking live.
But... All right, let's get going then.
All right, boss.
Sorry.
Mr. Assertive.
Oh, fuck. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast. Episode number, mouth-watering, I've just eaten a banana, number 119 for April the 1st. But we're well past midday, so there will be no April Fool's jokes. Gentlemen, what a week. How are we doing? We all right? I'm joined on my left. Sorry, I'm joined on my left by Dave.
Hello.
And on my right by Neil.
Hello.
So what do we know?
Do we know? Not a lot, apparently.
No. They're the end of a very, very busy and hectic week.
It has been a hell of a week.
Has it?
You played a lot of Valorant.
I haven't. I played a lot of PUBG. I haven't played a lot of Valorant. I have played some, though. Yeah. Here we are. Finally, we made it. Running a little bit late. That's my fault.
Another Friday.
Another Friday, yeah. So... Okay, well, without further ado, then let's just crack into the start of the show. Oh, so there's no Pilch again this week. Hopefully, he'll be back with us soon. He is missed, surely by somebody, I guess. Fantasy League, footy, the footy section.
Well, we haven't really got an update from last week because it's been Boredom International Week, isn't it? Could talk about the World Cup draw, though, I suppose.
I think we should talk about that because I didn't even really pay any attention to that. So
you do shock me.
I'm very busy, Neil. I'm very busy.
We're in the football section and you haven't got a fucking clue about any football stuff.
I heard England drew the USA.
Yes. Chance for revenge, I guess.
They don't stand a chance, do they?
Who, the US?
Yeah.
That's going to be extremely embarrassing if we lose to them, isn't it?
Yep.
Especially as you beat them.
Yeah, we're Canada's in the World Cup now.
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
Well, we had to...
You only go to horrendous countries, obviously, to compete in the World Cup.
Well, we... yeah, where was it? Oh, well, 86 was in... that was America,
Mexico,
wasn't it?
No, 86 was Mexico, I think. That's not horrendous.
No, I don't think 86 was Mexico. I think 86 was Los Angeles, wasn't it?
No, 96. 94 was Los Angeles. Because that's when England didn't go.
86 was Mexico? Oh, Mexico was 70 sure. And 86. Anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, the Canadians.
Let us know if you know.
If there was only some way to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Canada did all right. We didn't beat Costa Rica, which would have secured it. So, but I think that they that was away. I think they played away to Costa Rica, but I think they were waiting to do the job at home against Jamaica. So, I was thinking about buying tickets. Didn't I talk about this last week? I was thinking about buying tickets anyway, and I was like, they're a little bit expensive too, but as well, I was like, it's going to be cold down there, right? We've had some Arctic wind coming in and all that sort of stuff. The poor old Jamaicans didn't stand a chance. I think it was snowing that day or whatever. So.
I was just imagining the Canadians and Jamaicans just fucking off the football and just like, sitting in a park smoking joints all day.
You probably did that after the game, after the smokes. So yeah, anyway, Canada qualified, so that's good. Everyone here is pretty stoked about that, which they should be. Hopefully we can do better than we did last time we went and score a goal, which would be nice.
Well it was good to see that the odds on England went from being it was 11-2 before the draw, and we drew Iran, USA, and either Scotland, Wales, or Ukraine and the odds went out to 9-1 for some reason. I was like, how does that work? I think we've got a pretty easy group.
That'd be interesting to see if Ukraine make it through.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen there. They've got a game against Scotland, obviously, that was postponed from last week. And then whoever wins that game or whatever happens in that game will then play Wales. And whoever wins that game will be in our group. Mm. So that'll be interesting.
I don't think they're going to be playing at home for any of those games.
Ukraine? No, it seems unlikely. Yeah. I think it was supposed to be. I think it was in Scotland anyway. But I don't know. I don't know what the arrangement's going to be for that. But
How close are Scotland and Wales then? How are they looking for qualification? Do they?
Well, Wales have literally got to play the winner of Scotland, Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
They beat whoever it was. They won 2-0 the other day. Can't remember who it was now. Two goals from Gareth Bale, part-time footballer. Comes on and just only scores bangers when he comes on for Wales. He doesn't play the rest of the time. He just fucking just plays for Wales, no one else.
Both teams, both Wales and Scotland, have got really good one or two players, but then the rest.
Well, Wales have.
Well, it's one, isn't it, for Wales?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's so. Anything else on the footy?
It's kicking off again. Fantasy kicks off again tomorrow. It's Burnley and Everton. Excitingly, have two games in the same week.
Yeah, two games in the same week.
Two of the shittest teams in the Premier League at the moment have got double game week. So yeah.
Yeah, I was looking.
Good luck putting any of them players in this week.
Yeah, I was looking at my making a transfer in. I was like, I suppose I should transfer in a Burnley or Everton player. I was like, I'm not going to bother.
I can't believe I just said that.
I save my transfer for next week.
Yeah, I've definitely banked one for the following week because I looked at it and went, I'll just leave it as it is, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Could put in Nick Pope in goal because they've got a home game against Man City. It was like, that was one of the recommendations. It was like, maybe it's time to think about putting Nick Pope in for your goalkeeper. I was like, they're playing Man City. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay, well then what about Twitch and YouTube? There's been a lot of YouTubing. Yeah.
Neil's been on it this week. Well, he's been on it for the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
I've had something to do for a while.
Yeah, Neil is our shining beacon of YouTube-ness.
Not getting as many views as your videos, though, are they? Because I swear, he watches them over and over in a bed again with his wife to explain.
I know. So I posted that second grenade video, and I was up there. Standing in the living room, pointing to this television screen, trying to explain the finer points of grenade cooking to my wife.
But how many times did you watch that video?
That video loads of times, and I watched the other one as well loads of times. Most of the views are
not on
me.
The Seal podcast account, obviously, on your own account.
On my own, yeah.
So counts as views.
I'm going to get those numbers up. I'm gonna see if I can maybe just drop a fiver to some sort of... I don't know, some Eastern European bots or whatever that can drive my drive my video numbers up.
You're doing a good enough job on your own.
But that's pretty good.
It's been fun to make some videos. I think I've got this program because I don't know, you've been using, what have you been using OBS to make yours?
I use Twitch Studio.
Right, and then you just... How do you do it exactly?
So there's a record function on that. So just as soon as I know that I'm going to be... So with the Death Store, because I think I did the Grey Crow as well. I beat the Grey Crow. So I knew I was ready. Thing is with Death Store, like I know if I'm up for it, I'm going to beat the boss. I just feel it. I feel I'm up for it. I can do it. So when I know that, then I just record all the fights and then it automatically records that. And then I just throw it into YouTube and use the YouTube studio.
Edit it in YouTube?
Edit it in YouTube. I try to make sure the video is not too long because I try and keep those processing times down. I'm getting the process down quite quickly now. So, and then with PUBG, I use, if something happens in PUBG that's worthy of Yeah, they have a proper replay function in there, so you can basically recreate the match in real time. So
yeah, I've been recording using OBS basically, but what I do then is I've got a raw file that's, I don't know, depends how long it's been. Could be 2 minutes, could be fucking 30 minutes or an hour, depending on how long it takes to beat a boss. And then, depending on how it goes, I use another program. It's a free video editing program called OneShot. And I put the file in there, and you can like trim bits off, cut it out, stuff like that. Do a bit of editing. But yeah, it keeps crashing. It's a fucking pain in the arse. But I'm not paying fucking 300 quid for whatever Adobe program you need to do the same thing.
There must be better options, free options out there, surely.
I don't know. It's good, but it's, I don't know if it's to do with me having it in 1440p. You can edit up to 4K, but if you have to run the preview window at a much lower resolution, and I've upped the cache to like 4 gig or something of RAM. I think if I had more RAM, I could just up the cache and it'd be fine. I think it runs out of memory and stuff like that.
Okay. I think if you just stream everything on Twitch, you'll be able to.
Yeah, but I could stream it to Twitch, but then I'm getting shady.
We talked about this last week.
720p.
We mentioned this last week. It was janky. The Twitch export is janky. That's why my videos are suddenly have increased in quality, because I'm recording at 1080p at 60 frames rather than 720p at 30.
Yeah, and it's like I'm recording at 25,000 bit rate instead of upstreaming up at like 4,500. So you can do anything on YouTube. You can do 4K, obviously, because it's not, and it deals with it for the user at the other end.
I wonder what streaming to Twitch is like versus
streaming to YouTube. I think you can. It all depends on your upload. It depends at the end of the day. That's where your limit is on streaming.
That's why we need Filch. You know, he's got the gigabit.
Yeah, he's on Wi-Fi. So,
well, I think you can get as well, depending on your tier of stream. You know, Twitch streamer, you get the ability.
You can stream it 4K if you've like a partner, but and they will then transcode the output for users who haven't got a 4K capable download stream.
Right.
Because that's the reason. Basically, you're recommended as a streamer to stream at 720p 60 because of the amount of people who are basically just watching on their phone and they haven't got the bandwidth to download like a 4K video stream.
And then downgrade it, transcode it.
And it doesn't, because the Twitch doesn't do any transcoding unless you're a partner level.
Right.
So that's why. But YouTube, it does.
That's interesting.
On demand and buffered. But
if this was the veteran gamers, Duke would be spamming that buzzer sound by now, wouldn't he?
Are we talking about video games? We're going to talk about video games? No, no one wants to hear about video games.
No one cares about video games anymore. So anyway, YouTube, that's good. Yeah. So Neil's doing sterling service there. Not really been any streaming, but maybe we'll get to that sooner or later.
Yeah, anything? I'm switching over to standard OBS today, so we'll see how things go.
Okay.
I might start some streaming. I don't know, though. I just want to. It's difficult. I'm only playing one game, really, at the minute.
Really? What's that?
You've never heard of it. It can be like. It's a bit. I don't know. Sometimes I don't really want to stream what I'm doing because it could be a bit boring to watch.
Right.
I don't really want to have to talk constantly to make it entertaining.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I don't think, especially with a game like that, you need to. I just think people want to watch for the process.
Yeah, but when I'm running around just picking up flowers and stuff like that, it's not exactly a great watch. I don't do that, to be honest, that much anymore.
I think we sort of spoke about this before, in that if you're streaming just hours and hours and hours of content, then you can just expect to be playing and somebody will pop in and maybe have a chat with you about something or whatever, and then they jump out, because we're not going to make mega numbers, are we? Which
Not with that attitude.
Which then you sort of begs the question of why, you know, do I really want to stream just on the off chance that someone's going to pop in? Whereas if you're maybe doing short, dedicated streams, then people know that it's a regular time or something, that you get more of a social thing going on. But that's been difficult for us to keep a schedule. So I guess it's sort of a catch-22, right?
It's difficult to keep a schedule when you're constantly playing one game, like 6 hours a day.
Oh, there's that too, yeah. Anyway, well, no, the YouTube stuff is good. You know, it's good stuff, so.
Tomorrow's video, or Saturday's video, I think is a good one.
Is it sitting in the wings waiting to be released?
It's ready, scheduled, should be HD processed.
Mate, that is amazing.
That was a good one. That was fun, hopefully. So the today's one that went up was a bit meh, because it was a bit of a quick one. But
right.
Hence its tag was time for a quickie in the dark, which was appropriate for the what happened.
I watched that.
It didn't last very long, did it? Pretty standard.
No.
I haven't watched that one yet. I'll check it out.
Oh, fucking typical. Thanks for your support.
May have been busy. When did it come out?
Make sure you like and subscribe.
I've watched some of your videos, so don't you take that attitude with me. And I've praised you for your work. Jesus, right?
Yeah, I should.
What more do you want from me?
Money.
Okay. Anything to say about Discord? Or not really.
It's been the usual bit of chit chat about the usual.
Okay. Let's move on then to the emails and our fan base interaction. We have a question here, or a tweet from Marty Greasy Fish Lip says, "Evening all, hope you've had a good week. My question would be, do any of you have tattoos, fans or not? I have a couple and I am a fan." I'm glad you're a fan if you have a couple. Right? I have a couple of tattoos, but I don't like them. Liking all the videos too, guys. Much love.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marty. I do not have any tattoos.
Oh, I'm one of those freaks that have no tattoos also.
Okay. I have four.
Three or four, is it?
Well, one of them you're not allowed to show on screen.
it's right on the tip. No.
It's like a ruler.
One, two, that's it. I got one on my chest, got two on my arm, but that one was an addition to one I've already got, and then one's on my back there. So just black, just things throughout my life. I had first one I got when I was 21, second one I had when I was 27 or 28. And then
you just have the numbers printed off.
And then the other one was when my daughter was born, so 11 years ago, 12 years ago.
Did you get something about your daughter being born? Did you get like a footprint or something?
No, not at all. It was just literally celebrated by getting a om symbol and something else added onto my arm. It's just a palm, it's to do with meditation and other things as well, but it's a peaceful, calming symbol. I was into that shit at the time.
All right.
Yeah. But nothing elaborate, not like a whole sleeve or, you know.
We're not done with you yet. What the tattoos on your chest and back then?
So the first one's a serpent, and that's symbolizing conflicting emotions and mental state. It's like an Ouroboros, like a self-eating serpent.
Oh, you'll know about them too.
Like eating its own tail.
Yeah. So like that, and then I've got
my dog does that.
Is that a horse?
And then I got a Celtic symbol, because I found out through my family that we are very distantly Welsh, and one of the symbols that was in a coat of arms was on my back. So, well, it wasn't on my back, and it was. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think Christian might have been on the beers. He's telling you to get him off in the chat.
Get him off.
I assume he's talking to you about your clothing. I don't know.
So, no, I don't show them. They're personal. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's part one.
I don't show him. He says showing him.
Just that.
Broadcasting now to anyone who can see it.
So yeah, but it was a bit. It was a bit painful around the nipple. But yeah. All the others. It was great. I actually don't care about it.
You enjoy the process of having it done.
Yeah.
Like the feeling of.
It's just like. It's not pain, it's just, it's weird.
It might be for some people.
No, it could be. Not for me.
Depends where you have it done, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos. It's not that I'm not a fan of them. I think if I was to, I've sort of sat for the last couple of decades, said to myself, you know, maybe I should just go get a tattoo, you know, before I die, have one tattoo. And I've always had the idea that my idea would be to get something like maybe a half of a Union Jack and half of a Maple Leaf, just to sort of signify that sort of split that I've had between the two countries. But it's not that I'm not a fan of tattoos.
People might think you're a bit of a gammon, though.
I should just get a picture of a gammon.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not too big on like spider webs across faces and, you know.
I know a guy.
Things like that.
He's almost covered in tattoos. He's like full-on tattoo addict. And it's just like fucking, it looks crazy. Like the stuff he's had done.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like either. A fucking Yakuza. But it's like anything from like his wrists, it's like it's nothing on his hands and nothing from like his neck. So you can't see it while like his normal clothes. But, yeah, he's literally covered everywhere else.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's very impressive sometimes what the people have done, for sure. So, okay, Marty, thanks very much for that. Scott Patton sent us a tweet. May have accidentally purchased Elden Ring after watching Neil's streams. First hour been killing animals and some bats while avoiding a bloke in gold on a horse. Not feeling brave enough yet. Must eat good.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother trying to fight that bloke. You're tempted. You definitely will at some point go, yeah, I'm going to fuck it up. Come and have a go and all that. And he'll probably kick your ass first couple of times. Unless you leave it fucking 20 hours before you get back.
That's like the first 30 or 40 hours of the game, isn't it? Just killing mobs and avoiding.
It's not really. You've got to find all the materials to make arrows for your bow. That's where you've killed all them sheep and the birds.
What do the bats give you?
Fucking headache.
COVID.
So you have to make the soup first.
You don't have to fucking eat them.
Oh, it turns out. Remember I was telling you I went to that trade show last week? I didn't have bat soup, but I was speaking to some guy from another company. Like loads of them came down with COVID, apparently.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So
you survived.
I dodged a bullet. Yeah, I seem to be okay.
I was convinced earlier on this week I had it again.
Oh yeah,
in a month. I was like, I felt like so shit the earlier on this week. I was like, what is going on? But who knows? Maybe I've got it again. Just haven't tested since Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, like I think all our numbers are starting to rise again, bizarrely. Who would have thunk it?
Oh, no. Like, taking out all the restrictions and needing for masks and everybody can just do what they want. And numbers go up. What's going on? Visible viral.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate that. Get good, please.
You will.
And get brave. Lord, in Discord, Lord said... Stop spoiling Elden Ring.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know who that's aimed at.
I don't know either.
That's
how can you spoil a game?
It's funny actually, is that you talking about it so much, I don't feel like you're spoiling it for me. It's like this, it strikes me that there's so much going on there that I can't take it all in, that by the time I come around to play it, I'll be fine.
Oh, maybe some of the bosses I'm getting my fill of Elden Ring like through Neil. I'm like, I'm living my Elden Ring life.
Yeah, I think Neil. You're right, Dave.
Yeah, but you're right. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Oh, God, here we go. It's Inscription 2.0, isn't it?
Is it, though?
Let's move on then to what we've been doing, shall we? Yeah. I'm going to start with Dave because I haven't got Dave's here. I printed my notes.
Oh, no. I
printed them early.
But I printed them before Dave filled it in.
All right. So, yeah, I was going to just talk about the F1 in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Last weekend. For me, it continues and from the week before, it was an absolutely fantastic race with fighting up front. Some of the stewarding calls were a bit suspicious. Not the best.
What explain to the layman what the stewarding calls are?
In regards, so the stewarding in this race, there was a car broke down. I think it was a Ricardo broke down just in front of the pits, which they should have closed the pit lane because it was dangerous for anybody to go into the pits because Ricardo's basically like
blocking the pit lane, basically
blocking it. But they didn't, so people were coming into pit, and then when they
did one go in? Is there anyone that went in? Was that a different
race? There's a couple of people went in. But when they finally
one of the F2 races, I think it happened. Was it F2?
Yeah.
I can't remember now.
But it took a while for him to close the pit lane, realizing that it was dangerous for cars to go in, considering his cars are driving around 190 miles an hour. So, yeah, it was just a little bit inconsistent, but the actual racing itself with between Verstappen and Leclerc was fantastic. And it's actually nice to see Leclerc actually performing the role as number one driver that he should have been for the last two or three years, which he hasn't.
He hasn't had a car to do it with.
He hasn't had a car to do it. But even comparing the same car last year with, what's his name?
Carlos,
he wasn't the main driver. He shouldn't have been the main driver because Carlos was doing a lot better.
It was pretty 50-50 last year, I think, between the two of them.
Yeah.
They were pretty close to the match last year.
But considering Carlos only just went into the F1, Ferrari from McLaren, like, Leclerc should have sort of been all over him, but it wasn't. But, yeah, the actual racing, really good. And
rivalry is renewed. Isn't it? From when they were fucking about 12. They've been racing ever since they were like fucking 10 or something stupid.
Oh, yeah, back in kart days and stuff.
Now, there's clips of like Max Verstappen. Get this. Fucking complaining. I've never seen it before. When he was like 13 or something, going, who is this? He's fucking doing this. I'm like, you haven't fucking changed.
So, yeah, it was really good, actually. And it was nice to see. It's frustrating for Mercedes not to be up front and in that position as well. But it's nice to see Red Bull and Ferrari rather than the usual Hamilton. And Russell doing really well. Russell doing better than Hamilton last race.
Hamilton had a bit of a mare last weekend, that's for sure. He did. I don't think that'll happen again.
But. Russell was I don't think you saw him like three or four times in the race. I think he ended.
Yeah, it was weird. It was just like I said. He said he had a bit of a lonely race, but he finished like what was it, fifth or something?
Fifth in the end. Actually, just driving around in between the top like four cars and everybody else. So the top runners, Red Bull, Ferrari, and everybody else. And he had a good race, but again, didn't see much of him. So. Yeah, looking forward to Australia next weekend.
Yes, first time in a while in Australia.
Yeah, considering Australia was the first one that was cancelled due to COVID in
2020
March, I think it was. I know Australia used to be the first race of the calendar, and that got changed around. But yeah, it was. Yeah, it'll be good to go back there. So can't wait. Yes. I've been watching Star Trek Picard.
Oh, yeah.
The second series now, then.
Second series, first four episodes are now on Amazon Prime. I think they only do like 8 episodes of the seasons, I think. Don't quote me on that. What's his name? Jean-Luc Picard. Patrick Stewart. He's looking old.
He is old. He's not looking old. He fucking is old.
And I know that the story is set like after his retirement from everything, but he's all right. It's good that it's got a really good cast around him with some well-known characters like Seven of Nine, being one of them who plays her character well. And
is that a real name then? Just coincidence.
I don't know what her name is. I only know the character's name. But there was a character from the last season, a Hispanic character who is really well played out, and it's weird. It's called Star Trek Picard, but it should be this other guy. I can't remember the name either, because he actually steals the show. He's really good. He's still a really good, if you like Star Trek, to watch. But what I'll do is I'll wait until they're all released now, and then catch up. I like binging them. So that's the only thing that I've been watching this week. And then I've got some other bits and bobs about The Cabin.
That's what we're all waiting for, isn't it?
Elusive Cabin.
Not so. The old Giffer Patrick Stewart story. We want to know about the young, fresh shed.
So, shed is up. Shed's got a roof on. The roof's still not sorted. I need to put some slates on it because I can't sort out the guttering because it doesn't overhang properly. That's the whole thing. That'll be sorted this weekend.
Don't worry about the roof.
Floor's going down tomorrow.
Just move all your expensive electronic equipment in there. Don't worry about the roof.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Throw a tarp over the top. Be fine.
I bought my carpet tiles. Actually, I should have left one in here. I bought some carpet tiles that were called charcoal. And to me, charcoal's kind of like a darkish grey.
I would say that's nailed on. Darkish grey, yeah.
Darkish grey. No, these are fucking near on jet black.
Well, if you look at a lump of charcoal.
Yeah, I know.
It's been burnt, it's quite black.
He's got a point.
Once it's burnt,
checkmate,
it's quite grey.
Dave.
Looking at it, I'm actually
like
looking up.
Reburnt charcoal would be a better description.
Yeah. What my imagination of what I think of charcoal and what actually is the colour of charcoal is massively different. Still nice though. Still really good because I've got some. It's carpet tiles, 500 by 500. So they're going to go down at the weekend as well. But yeah, like,
are you sticking them down? Do they have an adhesive, or do you use a pot of glue?
I've got 2 cans of carpet tile adhesive. That
it's
basically
you spray stuff.
You're
going to get so high.
Yeah,
just shut that door and stay in there for a couple of hours.
Don't put that roof on yet.
Basically, you just sort of spray or sort of around the sides and wait a couple, like 10 seconds, and then it goes tacky, and then you whack it down.
I've got to
measure all that, and then I'll do.
Is that like an impact adhesive? They call those something like that. Whereas rather than, so you do both sides and then like whatever, the two things you're joining together, and then you wait until they're slightly cured. And then once you pop them together, then they're done.
That's it. Yeah. I think so. I don't know. That's the instructions that I saw on the YouTube videos that I was watching. It's like, yeah, just spray a bit on there, spray a bit on there. Give it a couple of seconds.
Yeah. We should do a deep dive into adhesives. Anybody, if we have any adhesive experts listening, send us a tweet or something. I'd like to know more.
What sort of use of these adhesives are you employing?
Well, what are they like? Well, the mechanics of adhesives is quite fascinating if you're that way inclined. So, and I think, what is it? The super glues, I find those interesting. The cyanoacrylates, I think they're called, the super glues. All right. See, come on, I'm flexing now. You like it?
Just because you could be talking bullshit, though. As far as I'm saying, I don't know.
Well, let's see. I said, hey, I'm calling it. Where are the cyanoacrylates? Yeah, something like that. Very brittle, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, seems a bit rubbish as a glue, then.
You have to use different glues for different purposes, right? There isn't one glue.
Well, I thought the idea of a glue was to stick things together, not so it'd be brittle.
Right,
so
but you're not going to use a wood glue, are you, for sticking down floor tiles? There's more to these things than you think. This is why we need to deep dive, Neil,
adhesives. Right, maybe we should do that offline.
No, this is exactly what we're going to do. The adhesives podcast is going to be running.
Are we ever going to talk about video games?
The theme, no, don't worry about those. The theme of adhesives. Come on, what did we dine out on for a whole year? It was something else, wasn't it? I think we were talking about something every week. Wasn't there something we were talking about every time? So I don't know.
Stadium. Anyway.
As if adhesives is a bizarre thing for us to talk about.
Loosely video game related.
Well, yeah, but none of the funny thing, Stadia. The reason Stadia is so impressive is because none of us wanted to talk about Stadia.
So let's go back to actual news. So the floor tiles are going to hopefully go down, depending on the adhesive. The electrician's come back to me the last couple of days, and he's coming on Friday.
Oh, Sparky.
The old Sparky. So what he said is...
An inspection, or has he already been to know what he's got to do?
No, he's coming on Tuesday. Well, he's already been. He's coming again on Tuesday just to double check. I've basically sent him a list of everything that I want from... I can't remember. Basically, all the sockets that I want, the USB and power sockets and outside sockets and the lights that I want and the switches that I want and all like everything I can think of that I want to have control of.
Right.
I've sent him the list and said, give me these.
So, that's good. He probably appreciates that, I would imagine. So,
hopefully. Or
he could be like, oh my God, this guy's done it himself. Fuck me. Not this again.
So yeah, I've already got all this Cat6 cable that I'm going to run from my house to the...
Oh my God, he's providing his own cable.
Yeah,
that's where I make my gravy, is the cable, and he's providing his own.
So I don't know if I'm like the...
You're coming to say, I think you might want to upgrade that to Cat7, mate. You've got to future-proof it now.
Or if I'm the worst one. The thing is, Cat6, like, I'm never going to get it to get 10 gig. Like, it's just not...
Yeah, but it's possible. Duplex, isn't it? You've got to think about it. It's going both ways.
No. My router doesn't even have a... 10 gig
I've got port. A 2.5 gigabit port on my computer.
Yeah, no, me too. I've got a...
But don't do it. It only goes up to 1 gig at the minute because my router's only 1 gig. But that's only like technically 500 megabits, isn't it? Because that's both ways.
I can see the Sparky turning up now. It's going to be like that.
Yeah.
That sharp intake of breath. Oh, mate, you're not future-proofing, are you?
Well, no. So I'm not. I've got a switch that's a gig switch, and like actually getting a 10 gig switch to use for Cat6 is like hundreds of pounds. Like, no.
Are you practicing now on what you're going to say to the Sparky when he turns up?
Once you've got 4K movies on your NAS, you're going to need that Cat7.
Well, I'll just run the cat six, and then when time comes, just add some cat one.
Well,
just strap it on.
56k. There is a part of me that is future proofing for the next 10 years because I know what technology is like, but like, just the cable's going in the ground. I'm never going to rip that out. Like, I'll stick it in, and if I upgrade all my hardware,
it's going to be in like a little pipe, isn't it?
There's no wires in the future. In the future, there's going to be no wires.
Is when you need to upgrade it to Cat 7, is you tie the Cat 7 to the Cat 6 end, and you just pull it through, and it goes all the way through the tube, and it comes out the other end.
It's going straight in the ground, mate. Not even.
Yeah, but he's got to put it in something.
You're not going to put it in underground.
Not going to put conduit in it. No.
Not running any conduit.
Yeah, you want to. That's because you want to do that. I've just explained exactly why you want to do that.
My mum has an expression that she always used to use. Don't spare the ship for a halfpenny of tar. You're going to sink this for a little bit of conduit. Neil's got it nailed on. Not only is it going to protect that cable so it doesn't lose any of its cats, but then you're going to be able to pull through that Cat 7 when you need it.
Nah, I can't be arsed.
It's
going to be a bigger job in the future. It's just going to be a bigger job in the future.
Well, hand him a shovel when he turns up.
Well, no, I've already dug the hole. The hole's been dug. Like, well,
but you might as well buy spider conduits.
I can't be arsed.
You will be arsed when you want
to. You can be.
When something chews through that cable and you have to fault find it.
we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll have a second thought.
You ain't going to do nothing.
So. Other thoughts about my cabin, den, shed thing is I'm going to get a TV unit to put in there to one side, so I'm going to put a TV in there.
Are you going to wall mount it?
I'm going to wall mount it.
So what's the unit? When you say TV unit, do you mean TV?
So I mean TV unit as in under storage and on the side storage. So basically...
You're going to IKEA, is what you're saying?
I'm going to IKEA. I'm going to IKEA and I'm going to buy some wooden stuff.
You're getting some Besta. Getting some Besta. Doing some fancy
it's
Besta, shit.
It's all Besta. And I'm going to get a futon or sofa bed stuff.
How fucking big is this place? Is it supposed to be for working in?
Well, I only sit at a desk. I literally sit at a desk.
Going to be lying on your futon doing your work?
No, not on the TV. I will show you. Like, when the time comes, we'll do a walk around of what it is.
We do a live stream.
We'll do a live stream.
Maybe we could upload it to YouTube. I don't know. On a higher quality video stream.
Brilliant.
Using the Cat 7 cable.
Using the Cat 7. No, Cat 6. That hasn't been chewed for it yet.
We'll have to wait a few years, obviously, to do the higher quality video stream.
So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna get a nice TV unit, and a sofa bed style thing. Because to be honest, I know what it's like Bella is gonna want to stay in there with her mates and have a.
Not well, that ain't happening, is it?
I don't care. Whatever. TV, sofa bed.
Your computer.
I just lock the door. Me and the missus have a night in. It's fine. Because I know from Fraser, your boy has mates round in the basement.
Yes.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever the kids have sleepovers, they're always in the basement. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my idea, is like Bella and her mates can fuck off out there. Like,
the thing is, you are going to find, and I'm finding it now, that I'm happier knowing that the kids are here. Like, if they've set up, like, they have the ability to sit in the garage with all the, there's a sofa in there with a TV and Xbox and whatnot. So in the summer, they can all hang out there as well. At least they have somewhere to hang out, right? Or you sort of have some sort of eye on it all.
Yeah. So, you know, that's part of it as well, you know, and also like a place for me and the missus to, get out of the house and sit and just not think about fucking washing up or washing or anything. We just like would stick a go out there and stick a film on. And might enjoy ourselves. So I'm gonna have a little beer fridge. I'm gonna.
There's gonna be literally no room left to fucking sit anywhere, is there?
Of course there is. Of course there is. It's 5 meters by three, so it's a decent space. But one of the things is I've got a Toshiba 43-inch that I'm going to actually take from. It's in our bedroom at the moment, but it's massively too big. So I'm going to get a little 32-inch or 28-inch and put in there, and I'm going to take that.
Well, so you watch telly in the bedroom?
We watch TV.
Sorry. Where's the 43s going? Where in the bedroom?
So 43 is currently in our bedroom at the moment. I got it free.
Yeah.
I got it free with my phone like last year, and that's going in the shed. But it's got shit sound. It's good picture HDR, 4K, but it's like two watt speakers. It's absolutely shit. So I was looking at getting a soundbar. You're a soundbar. And I've got no idea about soundbars. And basically I was looking at these Echo Studios that came out, was it last year, year before?
Let me tell you about soundbars. Here's the first thing you have to consider, right? With a soundbar, you're probably going to get some decent sound, obviously, okay? But the problem with the soundbar is you've got to put a subwoofer now on the floor somewhere. So you are going to eat up some floor space, which I would imagine is at a premium. I would say your best bet is to probably get a couple of decent bookshelf speakers and have them mounted up out of the way with a discrete amplifier.
What's a discrete amplifier look like?
It's like something small. You can pick up some nice little small amplifiers. It's what we use in the garage, right? It's tiny. I've got it mounted under a little shelf. You're not going to put out massive sound with it, but you're going to put out decent sound, right? Certainly enough that's going to fill the shed. So that could be one option. I'd just say
how do you connect that to the TV or Fire Stick that I'll probably be using streaming?
Most of them have RCA jacks for an audio out or an optical out.
A lot of stuff nowadays is HDMI ARC. If you've got an ARC on your TV, you just plug an ARC cable straight in.
But if you go HD, if you're now talking an amplifier which can handle an HDMI, where you're basically now into a receiver, you're looking pretty big unit, like a proper stereo unit, right?
Mm.
I would have thought.
Well, you could probably just Bluetooth it.
Yeah, some of them are Bluetooth, yeah, that's for sure.
Probably, I don't know, you might not have Bluetooth on your TV. I have a mixed experience with Bluetooth on my TVs.
I don't like Bluetooth. I don't like any possibility of latency. I like everything wired where I can. But there's certainly options. But
Bluetooth is definitely good for not taking up space because it's literally like nothing. So
yeah,
I've got Bluetooth headphones. It's a good idea. But that's obviously not great if there's two people watching. So unless you have one on like each left and one right on the other.
I was kind of looking into it, and like this Dolby Atmos, like the surround sound experience with a single soundbar.
Okay, don't do that. It's not going to happen. Don't get sucked into all that bullshit.
There's a reason that Dolby Atmos requires like 7 speakers
minimum and 2 subwoofers. Right, they are not going to give you. You are buying a box which is small speakers and a subwoofer. Like break it down into what you can see. You get what you can see. Right, there's no magic happening. I mean, it might project slightly because some of the speakers are all over the shop, but you're really just buying a subwoofer and a smaller speaker system, smaller speakers to balance out. And the problem with that, I had. A system that was I didn't have a sound bar, but I had one of those systems where it was smaller satellite speakers. Mm-hmm. and a sound and a subwoofer, and my mid-range was just junk, right? There was just so much missing in the mid-range. When I swapped to like just some decent bookshelf speakers, it was like night and day. So
Okay.
So you can get a lot more for a lot less than you think.
That's the thing, is I do have the space. I do have verticality. I can, there is things I can put up high because of the fact that it's an apex roof. So there is room for above head items to place. And I suppose if you're saying satellite speakers.
Yeah, you can even put a small shelf up there and have a decent amplifier up there and stuff, you know, or pick up a receiver. You could put a 7-point something. Like if you're going to put a sound bar in, you're going to put a subwoofer on the floor. Well, now you could probably put in a decent full-on surround sound system if you've got space to mount speakers up and stuff. So
you're getting some soundproofing on this place as well.
Your neighbors are going to love you.
Neighbors, I don't fuck about it. Turn it
up. Has it got fucking double glazed?
Yeah, it's all double glazed. It's all
cavity wall insulation.
It's all thermoplasty insulated, and I've got like 6 inches of insulation.
Got eggshells all over the walls and that. Eggshells, egg boxes.
Egg boxes. You're doing it wrong if you've got eggshells.
It was clearly far too fucking loud if all you've got left is an eggshell.
Where I'll be sitting for my podcasting, YouTubing, working environment, I will have the fancy schmancy multi.
I don't know. He's waving his hands around.
I'm sort of gesturing.
Just transported to 1992. We're just missing a face mask and his gloves.
I'm gesturing differently shaped flat areas that sound bounce around from.
All right. Well, look, let's move you on from your from shed. Shed's had enough now. Okay, we're done. We're done with shed. Anything else?
Till next week.
Till next week.
No.
Neil. Because I'm going to segue from mine into my games. So let's go, Neil.
Okay. Right. Well, I won't be long. I have been watching Drive to Survive, just to go back to F1 briefly. Watched the next few episodes of that while I was doing my ironing. There's another blast of ironing and watched about 3 episodes of that.
Nice work.
Let's just keep plugging the end of the season every time. Every end of every episode, it's like, there's what's coming up. It's the big one. It's like, I was there. I watched it. Don't need to keep plugging it every fucking week. But it's still all right. It's all right.
I didn't watch the last episode because I know what happens.
Because you knew everything that happened. And it's quite fresh in the memory, really, because it was quite, you know. Yeah, I don't think we're really going to learn much, to be fair. One thing I have done this week. So I've got a little bit of a little bit of money in my Skyrocket from I took my Oculus Rift for a shop and got some money.
Did you really?
This before. I went to the CEX, or sex as they like to refer it, to make it sound sexy.
Right.
I don't know if it's just me. Maybe it's a northern thing, but mine didn't smell. It was not a smelly shop. It was fine. It was quite clean, and it wasn't particularly busy, and there was no odors. So,
win-win.
Yeah, I checked it online before I went.
Are you smelly? Is that what you checked?
Yeah. It's like looked at the TripAdvisor. Not smelly. Good.
TripAdvisor. Nice.
It's I've never done this before. Never fucking take anything anywhere to sell it. Never eBay, nothing. Just goes to the tip generally. I was like, I asked my brother a couple of weeks back, on the day before his birthday, I was like, do you want to buy my Rift off me? I'm getting rid of it. Do you want to buy it? And he was like, don't know, fucking Oculus, blah blah blah, Facebook, where. He asked me the other week, could I buy him a game off of Games Planet? Right, because he didn't want to set up an account on Games Planet. I was like,
right,
fucking pain in the ass. He's a fucking pain in the ass. I'm like, you don't do anything. Why are you obsessed with not fucking putting your details anywhere?
Why am I doing this for you? That's anyway, a good question, right?
In the end, he just wanted to get a key that he could put into something he already had an account for. But it wouldn't let you do that. He had to sign up. Even if I was to buy it for him, he'd need to get an account. I was like, you might as well fucking do it yourself because you have to get an account anyway. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. I was like, fine, whatever. But he fucking hates Facebook. He's not the only one there. So he's definitely like, I'm not fucking signing up for a Facebook account just to get a VR, blah, blah, blah. I was like, fine, whatever. And he's like, we had this big fucking, almost a big row. He was like, I don't know why they have to do this and this. And I was like, look, if you want that thing, you have to agree to their terms and conditions. If you don't want to agree to the terms and conditions, tough shit, you're not going to have their stuff. He was like, oh, yeah, but it's not, they just, I don't know why they have to do this. The thing with the contract is you can normally negotiate. I was like, you can't negotiate your deal, your terms with anyone else, as far as I can say. They are the terms. If you like it, fine. If you don't, fuck off, is basically how everything works. Anyway, so in the end, I literally phoned him the day I was taking it to CEX and said, last chance, I'm going to CEX. Well, I spoke to my mum because he was in bed and said, does
please
he want
buy this off me?
Because I'm going to take it to CEX if he doesn't say anything, if he doesn't want it. So he was
at this point. I have a question. At this point, how much were you offering it to your brother for?
I just told him CEX will offer me about £100. I didn't say what I would take from him. I was obviously going to go for less than that because he's my brother. I was like, I'd have taken less from that. But, you know, I wanted something reasonable. I wasn't going to take
less.
Can have it for a fucking tenner. That wasn't going to happen.
Why not? It's your brother, you tight bastard.
Fuck off. As if you were, you'd have been charging him double.
Your brother, I would have been scamming him.
Anyway, so last chance. I'm going to CEX if you don't want it. And so my mum's like, look, Neil's on the phone. Do you want this? He's like, no. So I'm like, fine. That's fine. Okay, I'm off now. I'm going to take it now. I'm in CEX. I've got the fucking Rift on the parking on the checkout. She's had it all out, looked at everything's there. My mate's come over. Oh, yeah, I've got one of these. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything's here. It's blah, blah, blah. 94 quid for cash or 133 quid in credit.
Oh, like, you got to take the credit, haven't you?
No, I'm not going to buy anything in there. I'm never buying anything in there. So I was like, I'd like the cash, please. I was like, 94 quid for something that's literally been sat in my fucking back room for about 3 years gathering dust.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, without even bullshit.
Better to have the bunts in your pocket.
Exactly. So I'm like,
do you want to buy it? If you miss it enough.
On eBay, they were going for like 75 quid. So I was like, fine, that's fucking great. So I'd agreed to that. I said, obviously, you're going to want to test it. She's like, yeah, it will take about half an hour. So I was like, fine, off you go. Sign this, blah, blah, blah. We'll test it. I waited in the shop for half an hour, looked at all their shit, and was like, I wonder if there's anything else I could fucking flog in it. So I'm literally, I've done all that, and then I get a text from my brother. If I can set it up without signing up for all these accounts. So I am interested in seeing if it worked. I was like, I'm literally in CEX now fucking trading it in. I've never heard from him. So it's like, you know, I gave you like, so I have enough chances.
Yeah.
Fucking wait till I'm in the queue and getting it done. Anyway, so I got 94 quid from a Rift.
Nice.
And I asked while I was in there about my graphics cards. So I've got potentially two graphics cards. My 2080... they would give me 300 odd quid for 330 quid. I was like, in cash. That wasn't a trade in. I was like, hello, I might take that in then. And my 1070, if I decided to keep the 2080 and take the 1070 back, was worth 100 quid. I was like, that's not bad either for a card that's 5 years old now or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm shocked at how much they're actually offering for things, to be honest. And how
they are. What you're shocked at is how much your stuff is worth and why haven't you been recycling it quicker, which we've all been trying to sort of, I think, you know, that's what I've always done.
Right? Anything to get rid of like that.
You'd be surprised though. I mean, like we said before, you know, there's a certain break-off point.
Maybe I'll just hoover up all my phones. I should probably box up one of my Xbox Ones and fucking take that back because it's just going to sit there doing nothing now.
Right. You never know, right?
I could probably walk out of there with about a grand. all the shit that I don't use fucking just lying around my house.
There you go.
I was like, how do they make any fucking money?
Take one of your ovens. Your missus comes back. The oven missing.
I need to get
two. It was all right.
Yeah, well, maybe I'd like to replace them ovens, to be fair. So, but yeah, I don't know how they make any fucking money offering that sort of cash.
Well, it depends how much they're going to, how much your Rift is selling for tomorrow.
Well, who's going to buy one is what I'm thinking. I was like, I can't believe anyone's going to fucking buy one.
Right. How much is an Oculus? How much is a Quest 2?
250.
Right. So all they need to do is put it up for like, you know, 175, and someone's dying for that VR experience. They can get it for 175 if they can't afford it. I'm just saying, like, you just, you know, the markets are there, right? You know, it's.
I guess, but maybe they were just like, well, I was
they
in.
Know
there,
their like, onions.
If I brought enough stuff, I could probably buy. They had like a few PS5s sitting on the shelf. And I was like,
Yeah, really? I've
probably got enough stuff to go and get a PS5.
If you can't swap a couple of, you know, a 2080 Ti and another decent graphics card and get a PS5 out of it, I'd be very surprised.
You know how much their PS5s are selling for?
$550.
Right. How much is a PS5?
But somebody else could be selling the PS5s to them, right?
$450 for a PS5 should be. Is it $450 for the normal PS5? £630 unboxed. They were selling them for.
Wow.
It's like it's literally like nearly £200 more than they're supposed to be. It's like
fucking
woo.
Thieving bastards.
So it's yeah, not right. I don't buy the it's PS5. Not right. But yeah.
That's so, the market.
CEX, who knew?
Mm.
And what was really bizarre is there's like on the in Milton Keynes this is, there's like Game. The computer game shop, the only fucking video game shop in the country now. Then there's CEX right next door. And then right next door to that, there was a new shop, which I'd not seen before, which was like buy and sell electronics. I was like, what the fuck? It's like some random, like, had set up literally right next door to CEX in direct competition with them. And I was like, funny enough, it was fucking empty. So- yeah. Anyway,
I think there's a general feeling, though, people are getting more into recycling their stuff, right? Selling their stuff rather than just junking it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good.
There was a big bin at the tip today filled with small appliances, they call it. And there was fucking, I was looking in there, there was a VHS. I was like, VHS? I haven't seen one of them in a while. A few CD players, loads of printers. Loads of fucking printers. They're obviously shit printers, and they just always break. Everyone just goes, this is fucking worth
it's
nothing.
Cheaper to buy like a new one with the ink already in it that rather than get a new ink, to be honest.
Yeah. But yeah.
Mm.
Some right. stuff is worth bucks that you don't realise.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. That's it, mate.
All right. This week I had my birthday, which was fun.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. So
wasn't quite Marilyn Monroe, but you know.
That was nice. I had a very nice day, you know, but nice gifts from everyone and got up and took it easy for most of the day. And then we went out for
you got it at your age, didn't you?
Oh, you gotta be careful, Dave. Yeah,
didn't have any cheese, did you?
I didn't have any cheese. I did have some cheese on my burger, actually. So there we go. We went out for burger and fries to a place around here that does really good ones, sit down meal. So that was good.
McDonald's,
but no, it wasn't McDonald's. But anyway, to segue into what we've been playing, I got an Xbox Series S for my birthday.
Neil
predicted this.
Yeah, so that was good. I'm pleased with that because I wanted to get one of the Xbox Ones hoofed out of my basement, and because it's just the experience on the Xbox One was getting tough, right? You know, most of the indie games were small. Indie games were okay. Anything large was just a nightmare. Either it was.
Did you play Death Store on it?
I played Death's Door on it. It just looked terrible on the Xbox One for some reason. I can't remember. Yeah.
That's weird. That's.
Oh, here we go. Raze has gone again. Raze is broken. So he'll be back shortly, hopefully.
What is it with this thing cutting me out every time?
The same. Know. It's your dodgy laptop.
Ah, oh, mate, it's brutal.
Don't forget to turn your camera back on when you're ready.
Oh, yeah. Death's Door. So anyway, Death's Door. I haven't played on the Series S, but I have downloaded it. But anyway.
Have you not finished it yet?
No, not yet. But anyway, before we get to what I've been playing on it. So I got the Series S, went down to go plug it into my system downstairs. See if you can spot this. See if you can see if you can head this off at the pass. So I went downstairs and
you went to plug an optical cable in it and it hasn't got one.
Bingo, he's got it straight away. Yeah. Yeah. So I run, so basically my system down there is not an HDMI receiver. It's an older one. So I run optical in from the Xbox into the receiver. And yeah, the Xbox Series S doesn't have an optical out. So I was like, now, so that was a real bummer because I could pull the audio from my television into my receiver, but there's a latency when you do that. And I was like,
okay. No, you'll have to get on the eBay again and buy it like.
Well, it turns out that I had bought a receiver last summer that was like an Onkyo receiver that was $50. It was too good not to buy, so I just bought it. And I've been using it up here, but that's got it's fully. I knew I had it as well. That it's got full HDMI capabilities on it. So I just had to spend time ripping the. I took the Denon out and put that upstairs, and put the Onkyo downstairs with the HDMI and everything. So I set it up. Anyway, it was a little bit of a faff. You know, it took me about an hour or two to get it all set up, but I finally did. Yeah, and it's great. So,
the moral of the story is: buy the cheap shit that you can, because you never know when you need to use it.
Well, don't, I saw a receiver. I saw
a box of cables.
I saw a receiver yesterday for like that was $50, and I was like, I should buy that. It was just such some guy who was totally undervalued what he was selling. But
I have a problem where I don't see things that are only £50. Get an email from Richard Sounds going, look at this Dolby Atmos receiver, and I'm like, that does look nice, and it comes with a PS5 and all these speakers. For £2,500, and I'm like,
Oh yeah, that's
quite a good deal.
Yeah, you need to slum it a bit more, Neil. So anyway, the Xbox Series S, yeah, I got it set up. I mean, it was pretty seamless. You know, logged in and it said, oh, we've detected clouds, fixed cloud save, a cloud save for all your profiles. Pressed a couple of buttons and it was set up. And
you
it was
used
set
the
up
to set it up.
I didn't, but even. Just doing it on screen was fine. Really didn't take very long. Because I knew I was have to set up the app anyway. So I was like, I can't be bothered. If I'm going to set up
I already had the app. It was a fucking doddle. It was just like, ding, ding, ding on the app. And it was like, just started downloading.
Yeah, so it's a Series S you have?
Yeah, well, I don't have it. It was my son's bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice. Yeah, it's a nice little piece of kit. I mean, it doesn't have the power brick, which is great. Yeah, it doesn't take up much space. It's a nice little piece of kit. I think the controller's pretty cool. Yeah, so I'm pleased with that. Got that set up. And then got stuck into some games over the course of the week. So, shall we move on to what we've been playing?
We're not going to talk about fucking video games, are we?
Yeah, you're not going to believe it. We are.
Fuck that. I think we should end it.
So, I played Nobody Saves the World,
right,
which you had played before. So this is from the Guacamelee guys. That game is pretty difficult. I'm still trying to figure it out. I've sort of done the first dungeon with the rat.
Right.
But I haven't got much more on that. So I need to sit down with it and put some more time in it.
You haven't really scratched the surface, I don't think, to be honest.
No, I started to do some upgrades, but I still feel like it's just too tutoring me on the upgrades. You know, some of them you can't avoid, so it's not really letting me make choices, and so I'll stick at that. So it's not really worth me talking too much about that because
you have to wait to the effort of finding that video.
Yeah, I need to play more of that. The other thing I downloaded was The Pedestrian. Have you seen that on I'm not sure if that's on PC Game Pass.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know for certain, but I'm pretty sure I saw it on there.
So the Pedestrian is basically a side-scrolling I would say it's like a, it's a side scrolling platform puzzler. But the, I suppose the hook, if you can call it really a hook, or its special or its neat thing, is the fact that it's sort of based around real world signs. Like the, I think the character I'm running with right now is the female character from a, like a bathroom sign. So she now runs across the screen and in and out of places and stuff. But at its core, it seems to be a little bit of platforming, but mainly it's a puzzle game. So every time you go a little bit further, then it presents you with a number of different, sort of pieces, and you have to somehow figure how to connect all those pieces so that your character can run through them all and get to the other side. It's easier to see it than explain it, but that's basically the premise. And the problem
It looks cool from what I've seen of it.
It looks neat. But the thing is, by the time it was throwing me my fourth puzzle, I was like, well, I'm not really in the mood for doing puzzles, you know? And if I was, I think this originally was a mobile game. I've got a sneaking suspicion this would suit an iPad really well, being able to move the things around with you, like moving stuff around with the controller. It's not super difficult because you,
you have control over the character,
but also when you get given like the segments of the things that, that need to be put together or turned around, you can move them all around and draw lines between doors and things like that, which when you start having to draw things and drag things around, controllers aren't the best for that. It's not bad. So I played that for about half an hour. I'm not giving up on it, but I just need to be in the mood. I was like, by the time the fourth or fifth puzzle came around, I was like, I really can't be bothered to do another puzzle. But it's, it looks pretty neat. I just a little bit worried that there's more focus on its visual appeal than any real depth of game there. So, but I need to play more to figure that out.
I don't think it's going to be a super long game, is it?
Well, if it's not, or there doesn't, maybe, but I mean, if it doesn't sort of, but it's one of those things, you know, like if you take like 100% of the effort they put into that game, I'm worried that sort of like, 3/4 of it is the visual representation of it, and 15% and 50, you know, a quarter, another 15%. I've been having to go with my son about math, and another 25% of it is the gameplay experience, right? So I'm not too sure on that one, but I'll go back to it and I'll take a look. I did download Halo, but I really didn't get into that. I tried it, but I was like, not really in the Halo mood. So that's sitting there for later. But I did download Guardians of the Galaxy, which was
slammed by Pilch recently.
Yeah. So here we go. I fired it up and it started, and you start off with this sort of cutscene or whatever interaction around your bedroom where you can look at stuff and whatever, and your mum comes in and talks to you or whatever. And I was like, I really hovered over the button to like exit out. I was like, what is this? But then it kicked into the main game and I was still a little bit like, it's okay. It's, you know, I'm not sure on the game. There's two ways to look at that. Oh, thank you very much. Two ways to look at that. The gameplay was sort of like, okay. But I was also looking at the characters because none of the characters look like anything from the movie. So you have to get used to that. Let me deal with that separately in a second. So anyway, so I played through the game and then I was a little bit hesitant and I was going through things. And of course you do the tutorials about how to jump and how to move and stay. And you're basically playing Star-Lord running through this sort of over the shoulder, you know, third person, perspective. But the more I played it, the more it started to reveal itself. And it's actually, I think, could be a potentially a really, really good game. So I'm definitely not done with it. I probably played it for a good hour yesterday. And it's just really interesting what they're doing there, how you interact. So you have your whole team of five. Basically, you play Star-Lord, but you can command the four other characters to do things for you. So you have these scenarios where you're just going through the world, so you may ask Groot to you know, you're like, where do I go next? And then you pull up your menu and there's a, something for Groot to do, which is to create a bridge for you to get across, like, you know, or maybe you'll ask Rocket to shoot something or whatever it might be. So that's pretty neat. Although it's not nothing groundbreaking about that. But then when you get into the combat, then you have the ability to while you're fighting off, say, 20 or 30 of these weird things that are trying to attack you, you can call Groot to suddenly do a big slam where he gets hold of everything, or you can call Rocket to start throwing, you know, spamming grenades or something like that. And so it's just a way of fighting that is almost a little bit different. You know, it's at the same time you're shooting stuff and throwing grenades or jumping around or doing whatever it is, and then you're still trying to command these characters in. It's not turn-based, which I think is the thing. You've controlled characters before in battle, but generally you've had that time to think about what you're going to make them do, whereas this is you're really running around in real time and just, you know, suddenly, oh shit, let me press my left bumper and XX, and that'll get Groot like grabbing a load of them and squeezing them to death or whatever it is he does. And I quite like that. I didn't like it at first, but when I got used to it, I quite liked it. It made the fights quite different and interesting. And then they've started throwing on upgrades as well, where Star-Lord's attacks are changed, and you can do like, you know, like in Gears of War where you do an active reload. Remember that, where you run out of bullets and then the thing starts to sweep across and you time the second button press and it will give you enhanced ammo for the next thing, for the next round. It has something very similar to that, which I've just got. So that's really cool. And but then on top of all that, you have how it looks and the whole aesthetic of it all. And the first thing is, which people, loads of people probably complained about, was that none of the characters are the same as the movies at all. Rocket and, well, actually Groot is, Rocket's very similar. I mean, there's only so many ways you can do a raccoon, right?
Yeah. Fucking raccoon at the end of it,
I guess. But Gamora's completely different. My daughter did not like Gamora.
Do they look like comic people, though?
I don't know. I've never read the comics, so I can't tell you. But Star-Lord is absolutely completely different. He's blonde and like just doesn't look anything like the movie Star-Lord.
Isn't Drax, Chris Pratt blonde?
Drax, is he? I can't remember. Drax is completely different. Gamora is completely different. So anyway, they're completely different. But I had no problem with that. To me, it was like that made it fresh, right? That made it different, fresh. These are the characters. I can easily understand that there is a history of these characters in the comic books before, so maybe these are more true to the comic book. Someone can correct me. So I was completely fine with that. And then they are completely backed up by their voice acting is really good, really good. I think they've nailed every voice actor for each character. So not that Groot was very difficult, but the raccoon
better than Vin Diesel. Apparently.
Yeah, Rocket is really good. Star-Lord's a big bag of okay. He's all right. Gamora's fine. Drax and Rocket are really good. And then all the dialogue, like Drax is constantly bad-mouthing Gamora because he never liked her, right, in the movies or something like that, you know. So, it's really good. The characters and everything like that.
I'm a bit fucking, I've only watched the first film once, I think. But is it like, her dad is like the super bad, isn't it?
Yes. She's adopted.
Didn't he like wipe out this guy's fucking family of planet or something or other?
Yeah, something like that. That's why she ended up betraying him or something like that. I can't, anyway, I don't exactly know, but I'm not that deep into it, but it's really good. I think they've done a bang up job with that. I really do. And I find the characters it's fun to listen to. The dialogue's fun to listen to. And I really like the way the characters are designed and presented. So that's good. So you have two really good positives there. And there was something else I was going to say about it. I don't know, it's really good. It's really good. I'm not doing a pilch on it at all. I've been quite impressed so far.
Is it the new shiny? Is it the new shiny? Maybe that's just
I don't, maybe it could be. Yeah. No, I'll tell you what it is that is exactly the sort of game I've been waiting to play on my couch that I haven't been able to, because the Xbox One was giving me so much jip that it was no fun. And so I was also, and so playing that on a couch, third person playing on a couch, just taking it easy. It's not an overly difficult game. I'm sure I'll get on with it fine, right? So that's the experience that I wanted the Xbox to deliver. And so it's doing that. I was also eyeing up Gears of War 5. I'm like, I never played that. I never wanted to sit and play that at my PC. These are just games I don't want to sit at my desk and play. And so I'm eyeing up Gears of War 5. Third person games will be, I think, are great for couch.
Over the shoulder stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Gears 5's decent. It's not going to win any awards, I don't think, for originality or anything like that, but it's good.
But if I need the itch scratch, then it's there. So, but there's other games that I want to play, which I missed out on. I can't even remember. There's one that was, I think there's three of you in the game, and then apparently it's only good co-op. Aspect. I can't remember. No.
Outriders.
Okay. Outriders, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking yeah. Shit.
Okay. So and then the worlds or whatever are really cool, right? It's really colorful. There's one bit where you come across this massive sort of statue thing or whatever. I was just really impressed so far with what I played. You know, I'm only an hour in, but I got to give it its dues. I can see why it's a bit of a sleeper, you know.
Well, there's lots of people saying it did win some awards for a lot of best narrative, like good story and that.
Yeah, well, I have name dropped, but my friend of mine, he did the original score for it. And I see he's always posting on Facebook where it's being nominated for music awards. Tons of them, right? It's cool.
I did download it. I think I've still got it downloaded.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can set up my PC to stream out to my TV so I can do some couch co-op.
I don't know if you can do that on like Xbox, but like Game Pass games, but you can definitely do that on Steam.
More shed stuff.
Yeah, I know.
All you got to do is plug an HDMI cable into your PC,
why not?
Just run it under that conduit.
Oh, you can't just dig it up now.
Yeah. I'm not in a different building.
That's Guardians of the Galaxy. Watch this space. I think I'm definitely going to go plonk myself. You know, I think that's going to be perfect over the next couple of weeks or whatever, just to plonk myself and keep just chipping away through that. It's not very taxing, but it's quite entertaining. And then the only other thing I've got to say is I did log into PUBG today, and they have a new game mode, which is something, I don't even know what it's called. But anyway, the whole premise of it is you fly in the plane and then drop. I think there's only about 25 or 30 of you drop on the map. And there is this giant chicken which is walking around on the map. And basically, you have to either, the team that takes the chicken down wins, or the last team alive wins. Okay. But all the time, while everyone's trying to take the chicken down or not get shot by other players, I think we figured out, like, chicken is secondary. Don't worry about the chicken. You only got to worry about the chicken if he gets really low, because you want to get the final kill. But you need to be careful of like all your players. But the thing is, while you're running around the map trying not to get killed by other players or kill other players, there's a giant chicken running around, and he launches missile salvos at you, and the whole of the circle is based around the chicken, right? So you have to, as the circle gets smaller and the blue zone gets worse, you get forced to be near the chicken. And he's brutal. Like, he does these missile salvos. He also poops out crates. So if you can get close to him, you can pick up some level 3 gear when he poops the crate out.
This is the kind of ridiculous stuff that the PUBG is, like, honestly needed. Like, absolutely stupid.
Honestly,
really want to play it now.
Honestly, please do, because I played earlier with the boys, the typical core lads, Arnie, Matt, and Sean jumped in as well. None of them took to the chicken game like me. I love it. I want to get back in and play more
you
chicken
game. You love the
game. Chaos. I want to win that game mode, and it's only around 9 days.
You know what you
so
should
I
be
need...
playing?
What?
No Build Fortnite is what you should be playing.
I could possibly get into Fortnite.
Get involved, yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to. But I'll play PUBG. But anyway, so I am looking to get a squad together to take this to win this chicken round. And it is very surreal, by the way. It is totally surreal. I got killed by the chicken in my second game. He took me down.
That's that honorable death.
I don't know, maybe. Yeah. So yeah, it's just
better than that than somebody else, like another player killing, yeah.
I honestly think it's hilarious. I really, that's a game mode. I mean, it's just great when you're flying over in the plane at the start and you just, there's this giant chicken on the map. You have to see it to believe it. So that's the PUBG experience. That's me done. I think, what should we do? Should we go on to Neil?
Go on to me first.
You see, because I have a feeling that Dave is getting the old beers down his neck, and I'd like to leave Dave to see how messy it's going to get and leave Dave to the end. Go on then, Dave.
Quite a few beers as well.
No, it's all right. I'm detecting. I've seen Dave. He's got the 11 o'clock grin on his face.
I'm squirming because I'm ready to win.
I'm going for a pee when you do yours, by the way. So.
Oh, okay. Right.
Are you doing it right now? That's a bit weird.
Yeah. I'll be back.
So I've been playing a little bit of Inscription. I purchased it.
This is a perfect time for me to go then, because I don't want to. I don't want to hear anything. So
spoilers.
Where's that?
He's gone. He's left. I picked up his Inscription. I completely forgot I bought this game. Randomly looked on Epic today. I was like, oh yeah, I own this. So I started playing it again. Haven't actually got past the first level bit yet. But I remember playing the demo, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to just sort of speed run through the first part.
Okay.
I hope. I think. No.
Maybe not.
I do know there is actually a add-on, additional bit, mod. Well,
there's the KC mod,
which is basically the first part continued.
So, yeah, basically they've turned it into a rogue-like Slay the Spire type of game, part of the game.
Because that's what I understood from the demo, it to be like, is you die, you like resurrect
with a special card.
I don't know, we'll see, we'll see.
There's lots of mechanics that you have yet to come across, I would say.
I will play it and then I'll discuss with you. I think two people discussing it between ourselves
okay. At some point I think Fraser's bought it as well, but I don't think he's played it yet. So at some point, maybe we'll have a spoiler show.
We'll have a
because it's a game we don't really want to talk about. Cast. It's definitely a game I've always tried to make sure I've not tried to give any spoilers away when I've talked about it.
Yeah,
but because it's something you want to experience fresh,
right,
without seeing anything.
Fair enough. So I've also been playing some...
Oh, I can tell you how relieved I am for that going to the bathroom.
So you have also bought Inscription, is that correct?
Inscription is sitting there, but I have said to myself, I'm not allowed to play Inscription until I finish Death's Door.
Right.
Fair enough.
I've
been playing some Dyson Sphere Project. Got a little bit of news about that. I accidentally loaded up my 89-hour save that I had for Dyson Sphere Project instead of my new game. And I had no fucking idea what I was doing. And, like, I kind of looked around and went, oh, I've got...
I'd played it for about 4 hours on a new game, like recently, and I was like, okay, I'm getting the basic ideas about, you know, how things, you know, you mine various like iron ore, copper ore, stone, and how these things fit together. And you make things and you create science and you discover new things. And then I went into my 89 hour one that I'd played about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And I was like, I've got no idea how.
I don't think it was that long ago.
It was quite a while ago. Oh, was it not? Okay.
No,
maybe I definitely talked about it on the show before.
Yeah, you definitely. Because I remember you saying about the new.
Oh, okay.
About getting off the earth or getting off somewhere where that was right. When the game could be coming.
Maybe I thought it was that long ago. It was, but.
Sorry, I wasn't that long ago.
No, I literally. I looked at it and I was like, I've got no idea what's going on at all. I spent about an hour trying to work through the process and the chains of items. And I was like, I'm going back
of
to
what
my
you've
earth.
Built in the
yeah
is
of
that
what I've
you
built.
Mean? Oh,
okay. Yeah, like combining materials
right
together to create a Dyson sphere. And I think I'd stopped. I was in the process of creating a Dyson sphere around a star.
I thought you did it. I could have sworn you did it.
I seem to remember you finishing it.
I think I'd got to a point where it was being done, and I think I was just waiting for it to be done because right. It just required
effectively resources. Done.
Yeah, and it was there, and I think that's where I stopped. And then I looked at it today. Well, today, a couple of days ago, and I accidentally loaded up the save game and. I didn't have a clue. And so, I realized to myself, I have to play through it again to understand the processes. Yeah, yeah, I have to do the same. I have to, the only way that I will learn how to create the things that are required to do what is needed to create a Dyson Sphere is to do it again.
Right.
Because it's so complicated that. Like it's in one ear out the other.
We're all waiting for the killer line here, aren't we?
Gone. What's that? What do you think? That's
you're back line? In. That you're back in doing it all from scratch again. Oh my god, he is.
I wish I wasn't.
You're gonna lose your misses. Have you been doing 3 a.m. stints on it again?
No. Because No, it's been, well, the missus has got COVID, so literally she's been in the bedroom doing nothing. And so I've kind of discovered what it's like to be a single parent for the last week, and it's fucking hard. Just looking after a household.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the best. I just don't
know. You have a new appreciation for single mums, right?
New appreciation for single parent families. It's life, isn't it? You know, I had it for a couple of weeks. I was in bed for 2 weeks. So the fact that my missus managed to keep our household alive, I've only got one child. I don't know, multiple children. It must be a
let alone having seven.
You've only got one child, and your wife's got two. How does that work?
Yeah. It's new found respect for anybody managing a household alone. It's not easy. And the fact that I've been sleeping on the sofa as well. Which I've not been sleeping.
Here's the thing, Dave. Here's the thing. This is where we can get ourselves in trouble. It is fucking easy, mate. You just get used to it, right?
Yeah.
Let's not big them up, those single parents. Hey, he's pissed.
I just need to ship them off to school for once a day. That's
What's so hard
about that? Yeah.
Just so.
And then, because I haven't been playing, and I've put this on my list. My daughter's been playing Sims 4. And so therefore I've been playing Sims 4 because I'm behind her going, do this, do this.
Are you doing mods?
No mods. There is the Sims 4. I can't remember who do Sims 4 now.
EA.
EA.
I know because I've been on Sims 4 this week. My daughter wanted mods, so we've been working out how to do that.
Okay. No, apparently they're doing challenges at the moment. So they actually set you a challenge. And the challenge that my daughter's been doing is create a supervillain or
drown a baby.
Oh yeah.
So she's been doing that. And I love playing Sims 4 as like a backseat gamer.
Driver.
Backseat gamer. I'm coining that term. Telling her what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
She's getting really, really pissed off with me. And it's really fun. While I'm doing the washing up or putting the washing in the washing machine.
I'm just asking my daughter says she tried one of the challenges on Sims 4, but I don't think she's doing them regularly.
It's hard. They are quite hard. Unless
you have to be sort of quite dedicated and...
You have to be singly focused on... Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's an example of what a challenge might be?
So one of them was to be the supervillain. Like,
supervillain.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, like... That is the top level tier of one of the careers, and it's extremely difficult. The fact that you've got to upgrade your traits in a certain way, in a particular order, and be in a mind in the correct mind state to go to work and do all the back end work. It's basically create a single character, live in like the smallest house, most condensed area that you don't have to move around much, and just dedicate like 99% of your life just to work, just to do it. Like after like about 4 or 5 hours, it's quite hard work, but we got there, we did it. But yeah, it's quite interesting the way that, you know, because the Sims 4 and the Sims games are very open ended, basically create your own story. But now they're creating challenges for people to something to strive towards. And that is interesting in doing it like that. So yeah, it's quite good. I enjoyed doing that. Yeah. And that's me. That was my gaming week.
All right. All right, well, let's go into the main event.
Yeah.
I think maybe Guardians of the Galaxy was the main event for this week.
Probably.
Neil.
Okay, well, I played a couple of games this week. Been playing Halo still.
But, I'm seeing a circular object.
Not circular, this time.
Actually, both of them.
Well, they sort of circular. Rings. Not quite circular. I haven't been on the Elden Ring. I've been on the Nürburgring.
Oh.
Because I've been playing some racing games.
How they work together, people. That wasn't even rehearsed.
I have been playing Elden Ring, but I have been driving some cars as well. But I wasn't driving the Nürburgring. Actually, I did a big lie. I was driving around the Montreal GP circuit for a while.
It's a road... No, it's not a road circuit.
No, it looks like a race circuit. It's got the Wall of Champions, the famous Wall of Champions on outside of the chicane towards start-finish line, where lots of people have spanked it in the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's quite high speed-ish. Because there's a fuck-off massive curb on the inside of the chicane, basically, that can throw you straight into the wall on the outside of the event. So, yeah, I've been playing a game, Automobilista, or Automobilista, which is an old racing game from about 2013. It has been has had a sequel, Automobilista 2, which came out, I think, 2016, 17 time. But I have both the games now because I bought the Sim Racing bundle that was on Humble Bundle for 15 British pounds.
Oof.
Which included those two games and Assetto Corsa Ultimate Edition, which I already own, and Assetto Corsa Competizione, which I already own, and R-Factor 2, which I have previously owned but refunded. But they'd run out of keys for that. And NASCAR Heat 5, Drift 21, it's like loads of stuff. Like, and I paid 15 quid. Anyway, bit of money, half of my money went to charity nearly, half went to the publishers, well, not half. It was like a 40-40, 10 or whatever, 20, I fucking can't work out. My maths has gone to shit as well. But yeah, basically gave Humble the smallest amount I possibly could. And the rest of the money was like 50-50 split between the devs and the charities.
Okay.
But yeah, 15 quid, and it was crazy. So I've got a couple of keys potentially to give away.
Oh, look at this.
Not right now, though. Not right now. I asked my brother, reliable brother, if he wanted one of them, and he hasn't fucking answered me yet. Well, just fucking give it away.
He will. It'll just be when you're announcing.
Give it away. So I've been playing this Automobilista first one. It looks old, but it looks decent at the same time. It's like a PC game, so it looks a bit ahead of its time compared to some of the console stuff, but it is a bit basic. But it is actually quite playable with a controller, which is unusual for a PC sim racing game. So I've actually been quite enjoying it. First thing I did was jump in a mini, nice and easy. Did an hour of practice session, getting used to the controls, and like I say, playing with a controller rather than the steering wheel. And then earlier today, I jumped into it was a Formula One car, but from the V10 era. So
okay.
They sound fucking amazing.
Yeah.
They rev to like 18,000 RPM. They're like the proper high pitched, well fucking loud F1 cars from like 2000s ish. So the thing with this is, I haven't sussed out how to do it yet. Well, I have kind of sussed out how to do it. You can fucking get loads and loads of mods for these games. Virtually all of the PC racing games, particularly the older ones, like R-Factor 2 and this one, there's fucking loads of mods that make it look just way better than it normally does. But I haven't got around to actually doing it because apparently you have to pay money to join the race department. I was like, ugh. It's €3 for a month membership. And I could probably just fucking pay €3 and download absolutely shitloads of mods and then not buy it for again. But I haven't looked into it much further than that at the moment. But like, there's like massive graphics overhauls, loads and loads of tracks available for all these. Like Assetto Corsa, the original Assetto Corsa, has got a ridiculous amount of mods available for it.
I can believe that. Yeah.
It's like fucking hundreds and hundreds. Of like cars, tracks, reskins of the fucking like graphics overhauls and all that stuff. So I haven't really scratched the surface yet. But it's actually pretty fun. So I've been like watching the F1 recently, hankering for a bit of racing action. Saw that bundle and I was like, I know I own a couple of these already. But that
Automobilista
2. Exactly. There's money go to charity, and Automobilista 2 was on sale recently on Steam for £17.49, and I think it's half price. And I bought that and a load of other stuff for 15 quid. So I was like, fuck it, I'll buy it. But yeah.
So would like you say these are hardcore racing sims?
These are all sims. Like, there's no arcade. Well, I don't know about the Drift game. There's a Drift 21 game, which I probably won't even bother with, to be honest.
Okay.
There's a 3-month membership for iRacing. That's definitely proper sim shit. That requires a steering wheel.
Yeah, that's the one. One of the guys on the podcast I listen to, he's big into that. Yeah, they had some really cool competitions and things people were into. Well, and stuff.
That's where like the professionals like race against each other.
Yeah, well, I'll see. Like I was watching like when F1 was basically cancelled. We had like Lando Norris and all that doing their Twitch streams. a lot of the stuff they were doing was on iRacing.
Right.
Yeah. Like Max Verstappen, all of that actually competes on iRacing, even though he's a fucking Formula One driver. So, yeah, that's proper racing on there. And there's all like reputation based, like matchmaking and all that sort of stuff. But you can just set up servers for fun and stuff like that. So, yeah. So that I've been playing a lot, a couple of hours really. But it's very cool. And I'm probably not going to play loads of the first one, to be honest. But I didn't really want to play the second one and then go back to the first one. Wow. So I was like, I'll load up the first one.
You got the first one. Let's just like get a dip in, see what's it about. Yeah.
But the second one's based on Project Cars 2, like graphics, but it's got a much better physics in it. And the thing with these, they're based. The studio that makes them is based in Brazil, so a lot of the racing is Brazil stock cars. That comes with the game is like Brazilian based racing. So it's a load of stuff you probably never really heard of, apart from the big ones like Interlagos. it's pretty streamlined. So there's a bit of difference to like the regular racing games that you play. But I know that, like I say, with all the mods, you can make them look different and fucking get loads of different cars. But it does feel pretty good. Not on that one. But there's, I don't even know, to be honest, what fucking classes. There's like two pages of classes, and like I say, there's like fake Formula One classes from like way back to like proper fucking like 60s.
Okay.
Basically, we're just like massive engines with wheels and no fucking aerodynamics. Yeah, they literally look like rockets on wheels. right up through to sort of pretty modern day stuff on there. But there's loads of other like classes of racing on there. It's really cool, and you can pick the first one up well cheap normally on Steam. The second one, like I say, not so much. But yeah, I'm gonna maybe play that a bit more and then go and move on to the second one and see what there's like a season pass and shit ready for that one. It's like 70 quid, and that's why that's available cheap, because they can definitely make their money elsewhere.
All right.
But yeah, so largely this last week, this is going to shock people who haven't listened for a while. I've been playing a game called Elden Ring.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I think I used that gag last week too.
Yeah, I think I might have used it a few times as well. But
what's your hour count now?
140 hours of actual, I say actual playtime. Some of that time is probably me sitting there going, what am I going to do now? And look at my phone, maybe occasionally. I've not really done a lot. Like, my experience of playing the Souls games has been a lot of using online resources to help. I've tried to avoid that largely with this game. A lot of the information that's out there now is all new, obviously.
Yeah.
It hasn't been around that long.
I have seen like memes like saying like the story doesn't get started until like the 100-hour mark.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time fucking about. So like killing shit and killing the same things over and over again, baby. But I've not done the whole, like Cobby sent in a tweet, responded to something else. He lost 1 million runes the earlier, but he's only played it for like 2 days. And I was like, how have you got that? What have you been doing to get 1 million runes? Like there's several spots that you can basically farm the runes and massively level yourself very quickly.
Right.
I ain't done any of that. In the Souls games have passed, I've definitely got to points where I've gone, I literally just need to power up a few levels here because I can't do enough damage or I can't fucking survive a hit. Whereas I've not really had to do that. Like, because the nature of this game is open world. It's like, if I've hit a brick wall with like thinking, I literally haven't got enough health to survive a hit, or I haven't. When you run up and like do your biggest, most powerful hit, and it does like the tiniest little fraction of damage, so you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this right now. I'll just go and do something else for a while. Whereas in the old games, like Dark Souls 3, there's this Twitch stream of me. I spent 3 hours virtually on the first boss, on my second playthrough, because it's literally like you spend, I don't know, what, 25, 30 minutes doing some minion beating up, and then you go straight into a fucking boss.
Right.
And you've got a shit sword, you've got fuck all health, blah, 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 and it's all about learning the routine of the boss and the skills and the mechanics you need to compete. But took me a long time to learn that first boss in Dark Souls 3 for the second time. Whereas, like I say, in this game, because it's open world, I just go, fuck it, I'm going to go and do something else for a while. Go and kill some sheep or whatever. Stab some birds. Make some arrows for me bow or whatever. And then
make some bat soup.
Yeah, I haven't made any bat soup. But I've got fucking masses of crafting stuff. But I hardly make anything of the crafting stuff, to be honest. There's this huge crafting section of things to make. But I don't, like, you can... It's a Witcher thing, isn't it, where you imbue your weapons with, like, affinities or whatever. Like, you can put magic on your sword and shit like that. I've never played a Witcher games, really. But in this game, you can, like, put fire on your weapon, put increased bleed or lightning on your weapons. I don't really mess with all of that. I've never really have done, unless it says in the guide in the old games, put lightning on your weapon, otherwise you're basically fucked. But yeah, I've just fucking absolutely love this game. Like I said, I'm so late to the party on Souls games in general. But, and I've, like I say, I've struggled at times with 3. Dark Souls 3 was my first that I really went and committed to. Remastered first one was great. And I did like, I think I finished that in about 100 hours. And like I say, in this one, I'm up to 140 and I've fucking got so much still to do. And I could be playing this for months.
I suspect you will.
Really, honestly, don't know. Like, I don't know how, at what point I'll actually finish a run. I've beaten 4 of the proper main bosses that I think you have to beat to finish the game. 4, right. Maybe 5.
Four of how many?
I don't know, honestly.
Right.
Like I say, I'll try and not to fucking find out too much.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Names you keep. When you're looking on the, you're on the Reddit or whatever, like I'll get things on my phone twice a day, pretty much. My Reddit app sends me a notification from the Elden Ring fucking feed. And usually it's like, ha ha, it's a funny joke that I know about. Or sometimes it's like, I haven't got a fucking clue what you're talking about. But, because I've not, like I say, I'm not trying to, trying really hard not to just go and fucking look everything up. And if I fight a boss, I'm trying to do it over and over and learn and fucking get better at it and understand like the timing and all that shit. Because I'm a melee character. So, and I've got no magic. So you watch some videos and they've got these fucking super mad, crazy magic spells that just obliterate stuff. But I haven't even messed with any of that.
Right.
At all. So I'm just like pure agility. Exactly, not on this run. Maybe.
So what
time.
Do you think if you were to do another run, how would it be different? You're not gonna probably, if you were to do another run, you can't tell me that you're gonna take 140 hours to get to the same sort of where you are now.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I don't know what I'd do on a second run, like in terms of progress wise. But I would definitely play it a different way. Like there's two melee ways to play. I'm going high dexterity and agility sort of thing. So I'm pumping loads of dexterity in my levels, which means some of the weapons scale with dexterity. So I'm using a katana and a mace. I've increased the amount that they scale of dexterity by doing this Ash of War thing. This is fucking so much to these games. It's crazy. This like there's been loads to these games, all these games in the past. This one is fucking crazy how much there is to this game.
Yep.
And all the little mechanics that you can affect the weapons or like. The other way of playing melee is to go high strength, which means you're not as agile usually because you need to be.
It's like having a two-handed sword.
Wield
right?
These fucking gigantic. Some of the weapons are fucking ridiculous. Like I've basically used the same sword the whole way through. And then I got this, the Morning Star, it's called. It's like a mace. So it's like a big stick with a ball on the end. The ball has got fucking tons of big smelt spikes on it. And it looks fucking evil. And when you hit things with it, it sounds fucking brutal. It's just like, woof, bosh. And it's just like, yeah, that would really fucking hurt if that hit you. Like, really fucking hurt. You'd be dead. So, but the thing about this, like these games, like this one particularly, like when I watch back the videos that I've, I like watching my own videos, it's fucking sad, but I like reliving that moment because, like, when you're in it and you're trying super to fucking sad. Avoid, it's like, but well, I've never recorded this stuff, but when you go back and watch it and you're like, watch this guy with a fucking big axe and it misses you by like a fraction of an inch and it just goes fud straight into the ground and literally sticks in the fucking ground and you just missed it and you're like, ooh, that was pretty fucking close. And the sound of the fucking weapons and stuff like that is so good. It's just fucking awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Well, it's almost as if you like this game, Neil.
Yeah, well, you could say that. But
so I'm impressed because you did actually come up with some other games today. So I think we should all take a moment to acknowledge the fact that some other gaming has creeped in.
Yeah. Well, it's only because I do a podcast. Otherwise, I would be fucking just hammering the shit out. Well, I'm not hammering the shit out of it anyway. But I was thinking, I better talk about something other than Elden Ring. But yeah. I don't think I'll have finished it by next week, put it that way. So I don't think I'll have started a new run by next week.
No, I still think we have many, many more weeks to squeeze out of you.
Yeah.
The juice out of the Elden Ring sponge.
But yeah, it's good to see. I know a few people who've, like Christian, messaged me the other day to say, you know, he's never played one of these games before, but he's absolutely loving this one.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, actually, you reminded me. I got to give a shout out to Snoogans for joining us on PUBG. He's been dipping in and out, playing some games with us. So that's been good.
Good addition to the rota.
It's always nice to have another player. My son's been playing too, actually, so that's been good.
Yeah.
Come join. Let's go kill the big chicken.
Well, Scott said earlier,
you think you're battling some impressive enemies. Come and battle this big chicken with us.
That chicken's got fucking nothing on the gargoyles, trust me. That, oh, man, some of the fuckers. Absolute fuckers. Some of the bosses. But the bosses always feel like they're beatable, whereas... like some other fucking, there's a couple of like just
he's off again, isn't he? He's off again.
A couple of wandering enemies that I just go, I see him and I'm like, I'm not going anywhere fucking near that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I know it will fucking kill me.
Yeah.
So that's just good. So fucking good.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else? Because if not, then I think we'll call that a show. Well, we can. Dave? Anything else, or do you want to take us out with your magic words?
No,
the ending wizard that you are.
I will do my bit. I'll say thank you very much for listening to the Seal podcast. If you'd like to ask us questions or get involved, please ask us questions via Twitter at Seal podcast, email at sealpodcast@gmail.com. or join us on a Discord. A link is pinned to Twitter. We have YouTube and Twitch channels, which we upload and stream to regularly. And that's it. I don't know if Neil wants to do a shout out of some of the people.
Chatters. We've had our chatters. A new first time chatter tonight, Polar Knights. Just commenting on bids. Thank you. Lord and Sumu. The chatters that I have participated in chat tonight. All right.
Thank you for coming in. Thanks, everyone. Nice to see you. Good. All right. Okay. Well, it pains me to finish as usual. I'm sure we could keep talking about Elden Ring if we wanted to. But we will save that until next week where we'll have more. Thank you very much. I am going to, actually, I'm not going to say I'm going to play it. That's a whole other debate. Let's revisit.
Let's support inscription. We've got some inscription.
Actually, I could see myself playing Elden Ring if it is it on Xbox. I can't even remember. Did it come to consoles?
It is on Xbox, and it's only 50 quid. It's not a fucking crazy expensive one.
50 quid. Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be on sale at some point.
Hopefully, it'll be on Game Pass at some point.
Well, I did see someone did an April Fool's today of the next Xbox Game Pass being like fucking Demon's Souls and all the PlayStation games, basically. I was like, very funny. But someone then replied to them saying, this is the legit one. And it said Dark Souls Remastered might be on Game Pass this next month. I was like, well, that would be quite interesting.
Do you think Microsoft is going to swoop in and buy from?
No.
Be a big coup, that would.
Because it's obviously sold. How many do you think they've sold of Elden Ring? It was 12 million a couple of weeks ago.
They're making
12 bank. Million is still playing it. So
yeah, but then how many more have bought it since that 12 million was out like 2 weeks ago?
Well, it still doesn't matter. I mean, still you could have Microsoft swoop in and do it, right? But I only in terms of the fact that I heard the rumor that they were going to go, that PlayStation, Sony was going to buy them, and they become sort of like, Sony has to buy somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Sooner or later. Yeah. But I could see Microsoft swooping in and saying, yeah, fuck you. Here's the mic. Microsoft gets that checkbook out. I tell you, watch this space.
I don't know if they'd go without either of them. And it would have to be a lot of money, I think, for them to just go, yeah, whatever.
It would now.
Yeah.
Their price just went up for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Who's to say Google and Stadia's not going to buy them, eh?
They fucking better not, because I want to carry on playing these games.
Oh, savage. On that bombshell. All right. Okay. That one. Oh, I'm reeling from that one. Elden Ring Stadia. Is it on Stadia? Can't be on
that
Stadia.
Way.
Can it? No. Okay. Is Stadia still going?
Who knows? Who cares?
Okay. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. Much appreciated. Dave, Neil, thanks very much. Pilch, we'll hopefully catch up with you soon. Until next time, everyone. Thank you and goodbye.
See ya. Ta-da.